John chapter 16, and we're going to start with verse 4. John chapter 16, verse 4. And if you're just joining us this morning, we've been walking through the book of John. Everything we're going to read this morning is from Jesus' mouth. Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he's crucified. John chapter 16, verse 4. We're going to read through verse 15. It's going to be on the wall. It's on the back of your program. So let me read. You follow along. Jesus says to his disciples, I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, the Helper, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. The world does not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, the Helper, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. He tells his disciples, it's to your advantage that I go away. Now, Jesus had said a couple of chapters before in the same conversation, probably just a few minutes before, he had told them that he was leaving. And then he says it again here in verses 5 and 6. I'm leaving you. And he says, it's for your good. It's to your advantage that I go. Now, that's not what these disciples are thinking. That's not what his followers are thinking. In fact, Jesus says right in verse 6, he says, you're full of sorrow because I said to you, I'm leaving. But I'm telling you, it's going to be good for you that I'm leaving. It's going to be good. You're going to be better off without me here. And they're thinking, how can that be? We've shadowed you for 3 years, 3.5 years. We've heard you teach. We've seen if someone's been healed, if someone's walked on water, if someone's fed 5,000, it's been you, Jesus. It hasn't been us. You've done that. We've been shadowing you, and now you're leaving us. How can that be helpful to us? And Jesus says, oh, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. You're going to be better off without me here. I don't know if you've ever thought to yourself, I wish Jesus was here now. I wish I lived 2,000 years ago. I wish I was one of those disciples who could walk with Jesus and saw him and heard and saw with my own eyes what he did. Then maybe it'd be easier for me to believe. If I was there, that would be better. But Jesus says right here, listen, Jesus says we are better off without Jesus here. That's what he's saying. It's to your advantage. It's to our advantage 2,000 years ago or 2,000 years from then that Jesus is not here. Why? Now, he says to his disciples, there's a reason for that, not just because he wants to ditch them, not just because he wants to leave them on their own, because he says, if I go away, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send a helper. I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm going to send a helper. And the way God's plan worked is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the helper didn't come until Jesus went to sit next to the Father, and then the Spirit came. So they didn't think it was going to be good for them for Jesus to leave. Jesus says it was because he's going to send the Helper. And the Helper in this passage these paragraphs that Jesus speaks tell us that there's two reasons for that. There's two things that the Helper does that will be to our advantage, that will be to the disciples' advantage. Here's the first thing, that the Helper exposes the world's need for Jesus. The Helper exposes the world's need for Jesus. See, those disciples had a mission, had a task, and it was to go and tell people about Jesus. The problem with that is that most of the world didn't care. Most of the world didn't think, didn't know they needed Jesus. And so it was going to be hard to go and share the message with people who don't think they need it. But Jesus said the Helper is going to come alongside them in their mission of sharing this with other people. And He's the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to help people to know that they need Jesus. And so in verse 8, He says that when the Helper comes, if we look at that, and the Helper comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That the Helper was going to convict the world. Now, the word convict means to show that there's something wrong. To expose someone to the fact that they're in need. To convict the world. Now, the world here, the word in John and a lot of the Bible, it's not the globe. The world is not the globe. That's not the way the word's used here. It's the people on the globe. Particularly people who don't love God, trust God, think they need God, or even believe in God. The world who, the people in the world who are estranged from God, separated from God. So the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes to show the people who are separated from God that they need God, that they need Jesus. Convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And He breaks that down. If you look at verse 9, Jesus says He will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in Me. So the Helper is going to come and convict the world of sin because they do not believe in Me. Now, in our broken world and our humanity, our default, all of us at one time or another, our default is to think this. The world says this. Left to our own devices, the world says this. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. Even if deep down inside, see, the scripture tips us off to the fact that people who do wrong, deep down inside, they know that it's wrong. But they suppress that truth until at some point, sometimes they convince themselves it's not wrong. But the world says, and all of us said this at one point, and maybe we're still saying it, Christian or not, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. And then maybe we talked about this last week, maybe we hear about Jesus, we hear about His life, we hear about what He says, and we say, yeah, I don't think that's right. No, I don't think Jesus is right. I think I'm right. I don't think I'm wrong. I think Jesus is wrong. I don't believe in Jesus. I believe that I'm right. But see, what the Holy Spirit does is He comes down into that mindset, and He convicts, He exposes the fact that no, we're not right. He convicts the world of sin. No, we're not right. Jesus is right. And then the Holy Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit always does. He points to Jesus and says, believe in Jesus. In verse 9, turn away from your unbelief and believe in Jesus. Confess that you're wrong, that Jesus is right. Verse 10 says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of righteousness. Of righteousness. Now, left to our own devices, the world says, I'm okay the way I am. I'm okay the way I am. That's what we all thought at one point. That's what maybe we're still thinking. I'm okay the way I am. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm okay the way I am. Now, it's easy to do that when we compare ourselves to other people, right? I mean, you can always find somebody worse than you, at least in your own mind, right? We can always find someone to compare ourselves that is worse off than us, and we say, well, they're not okay, but I'm okay. See, the Holy Spirit comes and He convicts us of righteousness. That's what righteousness is. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm living how I should. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, okay, listen, the standard is not the other person. The standard is Jesus. See, we're all okay if we compare ourselves to one another. None of us are okay if we compare ourselves to Jesus. And what the Holy Spirit does in verse 10, Jesus says, as He comes, see, Jesus isn't here anymore. He's not here anymore. He says, you will no longer see Me. I'm going away. So I can't go and listen to Jesus speak. I can't go and see Him with my own eyes and see what He did and compare my life to Him. So the Holy Spirit comes and He convicts us of righteousness. As we hear about Jesus and we hear what He says, the Holy Spirit comes in and nudges us and convicts us and exposes the fact that, ooh, Jesus is righteous. I'm not. And then, like the Holy Spirit always does, He glorifies Jesus and He points to Jesus and says, believe in Jesus. The one who is righteous that went to the cross for the unrighteous, for those, the one who was okay with God, the God said, I am well pleased with Him, and went to the cross to die for those who are not okay, you and I. For those who confess that they're wrong and trust and believe that Jesus is right and that He died for our sin. In verse 11, Jesus says, the Spirit also convicts the world of judgment. Convicts the world of judgment. Now, left to our own devices, the world says, I'm not accountable. I'm not accountable. Again, deep down inside, Scripture tells us that we all, there's this, He set eternity in our hearts. We have a sense that those who do wrong deserve to be punished, but we push that down. The world pushes that down. And we convince ourselves, I'm not accountable. I'm not going to be held accountable. I won't have to answer to anyone. I can do what I want, and no one can tell me that I'm wrong. I won't be held accountable. But the Holy Spirit comes, the Helper comes, and He exposes the fact that, yes, we will. Yes, we will. And the reason Jesus gives in verse 11 is that the ruler of this world is judged. Now, what does that mean? The ruler of this world is judged. He exposes our need for Jesus. He convicts us of judgment that we will be held accountable because the ruler of this world is judged. The ruler of this world was held accountable. And here's what Scripture teaches, that in a matter of hours from when Jesus said that, He went to the cross. And it says that at the cross, that the sins of the world were nailed to the cross, and that what God did was He disarmed the ruler of this world. He defeated the ruler of this world. And He conquered him, and He judged the ruler of this world. Because the Bible says, see, so many people, and maybe we're sitting in this place, think that we're not following anyone but ourselves. We're doing what we want. But the Bible says, really, there's only two options. Either you're yielded to God, or you're following the God of this world. You may not believe in God, you may not believe in the devil, but if you're not following Jesus, you're following the God of this world. That's what the Bible says. The ruler of the prince of the power of the air. He is the God of this world who has blinded the minds of unbelievers from even seeing Him, from even believing Him and that He exists. But what happened at the cross is God defeated the ruler of this world. He defeated the God of this world. And so everyone... It only makes sense that if the ruler, if the general, if the captain is defeated, then everyone else who follows that ruler will also be judged, will also be held accountable. And that's what the Spirit comes to do, to expose us to the fact that it is appointed for man once to die and then the judgment, that we will all stand before God. We will all stand before God and give account of our lives, and He will at that point separate the sheep and the goats, and He will say, either come in or depart from me. We will be held accountable. And none of us likes to think that. I don't like to dwell on that fact. But the Spirit points us to Jesus and says that the judgment that we deserve was placed on Jesus. And if you will look to Jesus, if you will put your trust in Him, that He has taken your judgment. He has been held accountable for your sins so that you could be righteous. So that when you stand before Him, He will not say, depart from me, but He will say, enter into my Father's rest. The Holy Spirit exposes that need for Christ, convicts us of these things, not to beat us down, but to point us to Christ. And in verse 14, it says what the Holy Spirit is always doing, what the Holy Spirit is always doing, what the Helper is always doing is pointing to Jesus. Is pointing to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gets into the heart and He says, you're wrong. You're wrong. And we balk at that. We don't like that. But He tells us we're wrong so He can point to Jesus. So we can find forgiveness and hope. He points to Jesus. Several years ago, we had a growth group that met in an apartment not too far from here. And Miss B, some of you may remember her, Miss B was the host. It was her apartment. And the growth group met in her apartment around her little kitchen table. And Miss B has since passed away. And she, at the time, she had a son who has also since passed away. His name was John, and he was disabled. He lived with his mother in that apartment. When the Bible study started, John didn't really want anything to do with it. He would stay in his room. But a couple months went by, and when the Bible study would happen during the week, he would come out and sit on the couch. He wouldn't sit at the table, but he'd sit at the couch. A couple months after that, John would come out and he would sit at the kitchen table. And he wouldn't say anything, but he would sit there and listen. And a couple months after that, he started to share a little bit. And a few months after that, I went and I spoke with John at that kitchen table. And we were talking about Christ. We were talking about things that he really hadn't given much thought to in his life. But as he heard the Bible, and as he heard this group talk about the Bible, he began to be drawn to it. And we were talking about Christ. We were talking about Christ dying for our sin. And John was believing, and he was hungry. And I asked him a question that I learned from Pastor John. Because the proverb says that he who walks with the wise grows wise. So if this was a wise question, it's only because Pastor John is very wise, and I learned that from him. But he asked the question, I asked the question of John. John, is there any reason why you wouldn't trust Christ? Is there anything that you're not willing to let go of? Is there anything that you know you need to let go of and turn away from in order to follow Christ and believe in Him? And he paused for a second, but not too long. And John said, yes. He said, years ago, something happened to a family member of mine. And I have been bitter and I have hated and I've wanted to kill the person who did that to them. He said, but I know that I have to let that go. I know that I have to forgive. I know I have to let that go in order to follow Christ. And I was shocked because I didn't have ulterior motives. I didn't know of it. I wasn't fishing for something I knew about. I just asked the question. But you know who put their finger on that in John's life? The helper. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicted John of a specific sin. And he confessed Christ, and we saw fruit from his life later on in the months to follow. Listen, this works in the unbeliever's life. And if you're a believer, whether you know it or not, this works in your life. That the Holy Spirit is always convicting. He's always exposing our need for Jesus. And it's not because the Holy Spirit wants to beat us down. It's because the Holy Spirit wants to point to Christ. And the only way we're going to know about our need for Jesus is if we know that we're wrong and that we're not okay and that we are accountable. But Jesus has taken the judgment for us. So when you sit at a kitchen table and share with someone, when you talk with a coworker, when you are talking with somebody in your family, you need to know, as the disciples needed to know in that room, that you're not alone, that you have a helper who is working in the hearts of people everywhere to convince them of their need for Christ. Listen, you cannot speak, we said this last week, you cannot speak clearly enough, eloquently enough, convincingly enough. See, we can't convince people they're wrong. And we trip up on that sometimes. We try to argue with people or convince them that they're wrong. And certainly we need to hold out the truth of what Jesus says is right and wrong. But you cannot argue somebody wrong or into being wrong. That's not your job. The Holy Spirit's the one who convicts. The Holy Spirit is the one who convinces of sin and righteousness and judgment. So the helper exposes the world's need for Jesus. The second thing the helper does, we see in these verses, is the helper declares the words of God. The helper declares the words of God. He takes what God has said. He takes what Jesus has said, and he speaks to them in a powerful way. He uses those things in a powerful way. Now, the word declare, if you noticed, it shows up in verse 13, it shows up in verse 14, it shows up in verse 15, so it must be an important word. It must be an important thing. In verse 13 at the end, it says, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine, the words that are mine, and he will declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. See, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, is declaring. He's speaking. He's announcing. He's saying what? The Holy Spirit, because he's always pointing to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is repeating and taking the words of Jesus and declaring those. And if we follow this trail, what the Holy Spirit says is what Jesus said. He repeats what Jesus said. But where did Jesus get what he said? He says in verse 15 that all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All the things, all the words, all of the truths that are the Father's are mine. And so I share those truths. Everything I said, I speak to the Father. So Jesus speaks the words of God. He speaks the words of his Father. Jesus is God. He speaks the word of God. Then the Spirit takes Jesus' words that Jesus got from the Father, and he speaks those. He declares those. And then to those 11 men in that room, they wrote down, many of them did, wrote down these words. Jesus said, you're not able to bear these now. I'm going to unpack all of this because it'll make a lot more sense when I die and then when you see me after I've risen again. And we saw that happen in these disciples' lives. Many of them wrote down these words that the Spirit helped them. In fact, the Bible says of itself that nothing was written down in the Bible just because a man decided what to write. But the Holy Spirit inspired, the Holy Spirit helped them to write exactly what they were to write. The Holy Spirit took the words of Jesus, who got them from the Father, and they wrote down those things. And that's where we have Scripture. So Jesus took the words from the Father, spoke them. The Holy Spirit takes words from Jesus, he speaks them. The disciples took those words, they wrote them. And so we have the Word of God. The Word of God. That this, and here's what the Bible says. It says in Ephesians 6 that that this is the sword of the Spirit. This, the Bible, is the sword that the Spirit uses. This is what the Spirit declares. Listen, if you want to hear from the Spirit, if you want to hear from God, this is the sword that the Spirit uses. These are the words that the Spirit uses. If we want to hear from God, we open His mouth. We open His mouth. And see, this book is living. That's what that means. This book is living. It's active. Because the Spirit takes these words and he divides the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. He convicts us. He helps us to understand the Word. He reminds us of the things we've read in the Bible. See, the Spirit uses the Word of God. He declares the Word of God in a powerful way. And that's why when we come together, we always talk about the Word of God. That's why in our growth groups, we talk about the Word of God. That's why in our institute classes, we will talk about the Word of God, because this is what the Spirit uses to lead us into truth. This is what He uses. Another quick story. I was talking to my dad last night, and he shared a story with me that I hadn't ever heard before. And, The town that I grew up in, we moved to when I was 5 years old, and when we moved to town, we didn't have a home yet, and so we stayed in this little cabin. It was probably, I don't know, maybe 300 square feet, and it was my brother and I and my parents. It was called the Bavarian Lodge. The Bavarian Lodge, a little cottage. We stayed there for a week while we tried to find a place to stay. There was another family with two daughters that moved to town that same week, and they were staying in the Bavarian Lodge in the cabin right next to ours. And my dad struck up a friendship with the husband and began to talk to him. And as they developed their friendship, the husband trusted Christ. He was convicted of his need for Jesus, and he trusted Christ, and he began to try to lead his family the way God would want him to lead his family, and his wife wasn't real happy about it and was struggling with it. My dad said that he went with his friend, and they went to the home, and they tried to explain the Bible. They tried to explain about Jesus. They tried to explain Scripture to the wife, and she wasn't getting it. She was resistant. And my dad said that at one point he was like, "I'm not getting through. I'm not able to explain this." And he had a brochure that they had put together, and on the back was four or five scriptures that just explained that we are sinners, of what Christ did, and that we need to believe in Christ. And he told me, he said, I just said, "You know what? Can we just turn this over? Can we just read these scriptures? Can I just read through these Bible verses, and then we can talk?" She said, "Okay." So he said he just read through them. It took him maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Read through the scriptures. And he said when he looked up that she had tears in her eyes. And she began to talk about how she understood and about how she was convicted. And she confessed Christ. See, sometimes we need to teach and we need to explain things. But the truth is that the Word of God is more powerful than anything we can say about the Word of God. That the Spirit uses the Word of God. The Spirit doesn't promise to use our words. The Spirit doesn't promise to use our ideas or explanations. And we need to explain, we need to help people understand, use a translation that's understandable. But sometimes the best thing we can do is just to share what God says in the Bible. So a couple of applications from that. One is that if we're going to be able to do that, I need to let the Word of Christ abide in us richly, the Bible says. I need to expose myself to the Word of God. I need to let God speak to me by opening it. I need to let God speak to me and the Spirit guide me into all truth by staying in the Word. And then what Jesus promises that the Spirit will do is He will remind us of everything He has said. He will remind us of what He has taught us. And then when we share with others, we can simply point them to what Jesus said, knowing that the Helper will take that. The Helper takes the Word of God and He declares that to the heart. As He convicts, as He tills that soil of our hearts and points to our need for Jesus. We may say, "I don't know how to help people see that they're wrong." Again, it's not our job. Our job is to hold out the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. And you can be sure if you're sitting with someone or talking with someone, or if your own heart is convicted and you feel guilty because you are guilty and you can point to a specific wrong, you can be sure that in your life and others' life that the Holy Spirit's working there. Because only the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. And we may think to ourselves, "But I don't know what to say." There was a guy that came Friday. I was working on the stage, and a guy came Friday, and he had a flat tire, and he tried to make a phone call to get a ride home, and couldn't get a hold of anybody. So I gave him a ride home to Albany, and I'm driving along, and you know, this may surprise you, you know, coming from one of your pastors, but I'm thinking, "Lord, I really want to talk to him about you, but I don't know what to say." Right? Have you ever felt like that? "I don't know what to say." The Lord helped me, and as we were talking, kind of brought things up, was able to talk about Jesus. I don't know. We didn't have a long time. I don't know how interested he was. But listen, we can't go wrong with sharing the Word of God. Sharing the Word of God, knowing that the Holy Spirit's the one who convicts, and the Holy Spirit's the one who declares, takes that Word of God and makes it living and powerful. And He divides the thoughts and attitudes of our heart, and He changes us as God speaks to us. Let's pray. Jesus, thank You for not leaving us alone. Thank You for the Helper that You have sent to help us to know where we have sinned and to turn to You, to help us as we share with others, to lead us into all truth. Thank You for giving us the Bible, that sword of the Spirit that the Spirit uses to declare and to speak to us the words of Christ. God, we thank You. We look forward to seeing You soon, as we sang. But we thank You in the meantime that You haven't left us alone. And You've given us the Holy Spirit who's always pointing us to Jesus. And man, we need that because we need Jesus more than anything. We pray this in your name. Amen.